Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. This next story is shocking, but I don't think it's surprising. Let's dive right in, and I think you'll see what I am referring to. This is from Zero Hedge today. Trudeau's state media labels freedom a far-right concept. I have been talking on this channel and the George Gammon channel for the last, at least the last year, really since the Cerveza sickness, on how I believed the mainstream media and the politicians would try to label those who value freedom as domestic terrorists. And unfortunately, I think I was right. This is exactly what we're seeing play out right here. If you believe in the principles that the United States was built on, the principles that made this country great and unique, they, the central planners, the global elite, the Trudeaus of the world, the puppets, the Bidens, they are going to try to claim that you are a domestic terrorist. And this is one of the reasons why I say everyone should own Bitcoin. And, most people say, oh, you should own Bitcoin because it's going to 100,000 or a million or what, have fun staying poor. Ha 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 ha. That's, you guys know I don't play that game. I think you should own it just to have purchasing power outside of the banking system. And now I'm not saying buy now. You guys know that I'm preferring to hold off myself. I can't give you any specific investment advice, but I am waiting to buy till I see more panic and less hysteria in the market. But I think that although I don't have a huge position, very small relative to the portfolio, I still think you have something. And it's just like I've got a Rolex watch and I'm looking to buy more of them. And not just, that I wear it all the time, but I keep it. It's just like gold. It's like Bitcoin. It's something that's outside of the banking system that gives you purchasing power. And a lot of people don't even understand. They say, oh, well, if we're going to get into Canada clamping down on people's actual bank accounts that value freedom here in a moment. But, people say, oh, well, if you have a Rolex that, it still requires people having their bank account. No. You throw that thing on your wrist, you hop on a plane, you don't tell anyone about it, you get to anywhere on the planet Earth, and you've got pretty much the same purchasing power that you paid for that watch to begin with, assuming that it's in good condition, got the box and the papers and all that stuff. But anyway, that's not my point. My point is, this just Trudeau right now in front of our eyes is illustrating why it's so important to have a little bit of Bitcoin, have gold, and have purchasing power outside of the banking system. I don't think there's anyone that could have done more for Bitcoin and gold and maybe Rolexes than Trudeau by taking these actions. So let's see exactly what he did here. One day before Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau invoked emergency powers to crack down on anti-mandate protesters, state media outlet CBC published material claiming that freedom is now a far-right concept. Just unbelievable, isn't it? The CBC article argues that freedom is now a malleable term and is open to interpretation. This is just propaganda. Germany 1930s 101, straight out of 1984. I mean, this is Joseph Goebbels would be proud of this. In fact, I think he'd be jealous of what's happening in Canada right now. CBC quotes Barbara Perry, the director of Center on Hate. Gosh, oh my gosh, the Center on Hate. How does that person justify their salary? Honestly. You guys know that wealth is defined as productivity, producing more than you consume. You think Barbara, being the director of the Center of Hate, produces more than she consumes? What is she producing? What is her product? And I'm not saying that the world is perfect by any stretch, but do you think she's fixing it? I don't think so. This should be Center of Propaganda, and therefore she is detracting from GDP. She is making everyone else around her less productive. Let's keep going. She claims that freedom is a term that has resonated. Yes, it has, for very good reason. You can define it and understand it as sort of manipulate it in a way that makes sense to you and it is useful to you depending on your perspective. Not really. It's just simply you, the state leaving you alone to do what you think is right for yourself. Simple. You say, oh, George, does that mean that you can kill someone? No, of course not. As long as you do not impede on other people's private property, then you should have that freedom. You should have the freedom to do what you want with your own private property. It's very, very simple. You say, oh, George, well, boy, if you don't get the medicine, then you're impeding on other people's private property because you're making them potentially sick. A, no, that's not what the science says, especially with the new scariant. We know that you can transmit, you can do all these things just as easy. But also, we now know, according to the CDC, that if you have natural immunity with zero medicine, that it's actually superior in all these ways, right? So if we really wanted to protect other people, we would encourage people to be healthier. We would encourage people, I'm not saying that this is a good, I won't even go there because that's going to get me in trouble with YouTube. But you know what I'm saying, right? This is obviously not about health. It's not about safety. It's not about any of those things when we're talking about the mandates themselves. But let's just assume that we had zero mandates, but you still abide by those principles. Sure. If you directly get someone sick, let's say, and they die, well, then you should be responsible for that. Just like if you give someone the flu and they die, you should be responsible. Now, that's not to say that you should go to jail or any of these things, but people should have the right to sue you. Now, good luck proving that, right? And we've seen this happen with the flu in the past. And I'm not saying the surveys of sickness is the flu, but you've had people try to sue other people for giving them an illness, and it doesn't really work too well because you can't really prove it. So we have these laws set up. These laws are established, right? So in terms of the cerveza sickness, I think that's the framework that we need to see things through. And that's the framework that we're talking about here in regards to freedom and liberty. But really, at the end of the day, that the basic principle is that you should have the ability to do whatever you want with your own personal property, as long as it doesn't impede on anyone else's private property. There really isn't too much wiggle room in that definition. So then Perry wheeled out the inevitable. Oh, of course, yeah, January 6th comparison. Right. So this article also quotes another quote-unquote expert, Elizabeth Anker, associate professional political science at George Washington University. She says, oh my gosh, freedom is a slippery concept. What? I at least she didn't say freedom is a slippery slope, because I think that's what she truly believes as a central planner, but she's saying freedom is a slippery concept. No, it's not. It's very defined. It's not rocket science here. It's not ambiguous. It's not abstract. And by the way, let's just go back to what the founding fathers said quickly here. And I've got a quote from Thomas Jefferson. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty or freedom. Pretty straightforward way to view it, right? So I don't know, this gal, Elizabeth Anker, it's a slippery concept. It wasn't for the founding fathers, so I don't understand why it is today. The only reason it is today is because you guys want to take control and power, and you see the entire world crumbling around you as far as your narrative. And you're just trying to grasp desperately at anything that will give you that control back. That's really what's happening here with the central planners and the people that are in charge of these institutions. When they can see the trust is deteriorating at a very rapid rate, and rightfully so, because they've lied, they've contradicted themselves, and they've been deceitful from day one with this whole process. And they've been wrong. Let's not forget that. They've been flat out wrong. Every single 6 months, we look back on what was being banned and what was considered misinformation. And today, it's quote unquote the science. You know, so it has nothing to do with what's right or wrong or truth. It just has everything to do with who is saying the quote-unquote truth. It goes right back to 1984, goes right back to Germany in the 1930s. Stalin, you pick the time, and or the book, the novel, and we see it happening right here in front of our eyes in Canada. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. So here we go from CBC Radio, which is really government run in Canada. On the far right, individual freedom is often translated into somebody who refuses to be bound by norms of equality. What does that even mean? So now you're telling me that I shouldn't have the freedom to refuse your definition of equality. You see how this always morphs, guys. It's basically the central planners just spinning anything they can to try to give them the power and the control and the authority to micromanage your life. Because, and why is that? It goes back to what we say on this channel all the time. Because they believe that they are smarter than you. They believe that they should control you because you're not smart enough to do it yourself. And left to your own devices, because you're so stupid, because you're a dumb rube, you're just going to destroy the entire world. You're going to destroy everything they've built. And for the benefit of society, the enlightened intelligentsia, like Miss Anchor, they should have control over the masses. That's the way they see the world, you see? So the fact that she wants to just twist and just contort the meaning of freedom is just, it's no surprise. This is what we have been expecting. So she says, then treating all people equally. So now freedom equals treating all people equally? What are you talking about? Or norms to remedy inequality. So here we get Mrs. Anchor gets to define what inequality is. And then she gets to say that if you don't abide or if you don't try to remedy her definition of inequality, then you should not have the freedom to do that, because that's not the definition of freedom. The definition of freedom is doing what you want to do only if it's what Miss Anchor wants you to do. If it's outside of that, then that's not the definition of freedom. I mean, this is just talk about pretzel logic and mental gymnastics. Holy cow. Wow. Here, she somehow expands on this insanity. On the far right, individual freedom is often translated into someone, okay, who refuses the norms of equality, treating all people equally, norms remedy inequality, whether it's trying to remedy racial discrimination or gender discrimination. This is, okay, so again, we've got to try to sift through what her point is here. So I think she's, and it's tough to decipher, but I think she's saying that that you should not have the freedom to not make an effort to remedy racial discrimination. So meaning that we should not allow people to choose whether or not to make a conscious effort to remedy racial discrimination or gender discrimination. That's not within the realm of freedom. I got nothing, guys. You see, you don't need me to tell you how insane this is. The professor also said that when right-wingers exercise their rights, it is violent freedom. Gosh, here we go. Now we're changing the definition of violent to, or violence, to mean whatever the professor wants it to mean, to make sure that no one is acting in a way that she doesn't, that she deems inappropriate. Just the arrogance. Think about the arrogance that you need to have as an individual to truly believe that everyone should think exactly like you do and behave that way. And if they don't, they should just be eradicated from polite society. I mean, just, you see why I call these people sociopaths, right? I mean, isn't it obvious? The alt-right has weaponized freedom to undermine democracy. What? That's... Oh, the alt-right has weaponized freedom to undermine democracy. Isn't democracy synonymous with freedom? That's like saying the alt-right has weaponized democracy to undermine democracy. What are you talking about? Who comes up with this? Like, how, if you paid me hundreds of millions of dollars to try to come up with, to try to think in this distorted, just bizarre way, I couldn't even do it if I tried. Like, what type of drugs do you need to be on to even be able to put these two things together in the same sentence or to propose this type of idea? It's just, wow. Here we go. The author Gary Mason states that freedom is a word that has become code for white identity politics. Wow. Here you go, guys. So if you believe in freedom, if you believe in individual sovereignty, you are a racist. And it's the far right's weapon of choice in the culture wars. Adding that it has not always been a concept usurped for selfish, malicious purposes. So if you push back on authoritarianism, if you don't bend a knee, if you don't bow to the central planners, then you have malicious intent. You see, I mean, take this to its logical conclusion, guys. It's, if you don't agree with the central planners, you're a domestic terrorist, and therefore you should be eradicated. Now, whether that means going to jail, whether that means just excommunicated from society or something worse, that's where this leads. And that's why I was so adamant from the beginning to push back against the mandates and the quote-unquote unmedicated, because this was dehumanizing people. And if you look at history, if you study, if you read history, you know that when you start to dehumanize a group in the population, that is a very, very slippery slope, and you do not want to go there. And what's amazing is a lot of people I see that are siding with Trudeau and saying, well, oh, this is good that he is usurping this power. This is good that he's being a dictator, because we've got to push back on the insurrection. Oh, be very, very careful with that, my friend, because even if you agree with what Trudeau is doing, and even if you agree with the central planners, you have to understand that in the future, they will use that against you. See, this is what escapes most people that side with the authoritarians. They don't realize that the totalitarianism will be used against them and what they believe in the future. But what's interesting and what's great news is the Canadian Civil Liberty Association, which you would think would be kind of politically influenced, they're pushing back and saying, no, Trudeau is wrong. And so are the professors that we talked about above. They said that the Emergency Act, and this is basically Trudeau saying, I'm dictator now and I can just do whatever I want. The emergency acts can only be invoked when a situation seriously threatens the ability of the government to preserve the sovereignty, security, and territorial integrity of Canada, which obviously the truckers don't. And so they said that it cannot be effectively dealt with under any law of Canada, which obviously the truckers can. And therefore, they came to the conclusion that Trudeau was completely wrong, and that this what he did is not justified in any way, shape, or form. And this is what I'm saying. And then you see a lot of the provinces that are now siding with the truckers. They're getting rid of their mandates. And if you're Trudeau, or if you're some of the few, you know, the mainstream media that still is trying to salvage his political career, or that they have attached their horse to this, or their carriage to this horse, freedom bad type thing, and let's go dictator, they see their futures just crumbling around them, and they're going to get more and more desperate. That's what political leaders do. That's what the media does. I mean, you look at the conclusion of World War II. You guys know what I'm talking about and who I'm talking about. Those people, they could see the writing on the wall. And when they did, they became more and more and more desperate. And their actions became more and more extreme. And I think that in the weeks, months to come, if Trudeau is still in power, which I think is a question mark, who knows? I don't know how the politics work up there. But his actions are going to be more and more extreme. And here we go. This person says, the support independent media says, it's no coincidence that the CBC ran a hit piece on the word freedom. Think about doing that. Think about that. Let's just go back again and try to ask ourselves, have the people, the entities, the media sources that have used freedom as the enemy, have claimed that freedom is a bad thing, have claimed that critical thinking is bad, have those ever been the good guys? Ever? And the answer is no. I mean, if I was the CBC or these professors, I would look myself in the mirror and say, whoa, time out. Let me pump the brakes here. Because I am putting myself and my beliefs in the exact same categories as some very, very, very bad people throughout history. And I believe sincerely, this is George Gammon talking, that when we look back at this and these individuals and the media and the Trudeau types and these professors, these central planners, these elites, when we look back on what they are saying in their actions in 20 years, it is going to be completely obvious that they are on the wrong side of history. And I tell you what, you at a certain point, you have to look at your legacy and how history remembers you. And if I was Trudeau, I would be very concerned, to say the least, about how history is going to remember me. And, you reap what you sow, Justin. You reap what you sow, buddy. All right, guys. On that note, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Always stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you on the next video.